Action.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
So I feel like I'm a kind of a local hero.
It's all fun on top.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm about to start winning some awards.
You're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer, and 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Coming off the All-Star Game, a couple of days of inactivity in the world of sports, but we're here for you. We'll make it happen. All-Star Game last night. Thoughts?
Who's the lead play-by-play guy?
I don't even know.
He's awful.
Joe Davis.
He's terrible. I hate to say that, but he's just...
There's nothing to him.
I guess in the mic'd up segments, he was just really bad. He's trying too hard. He's forcing things. He's trying to be funny when he's not. He's trying to be cool when he's not. Hey, guys, what are you guys up to out there? How's it feel, buddy? All that, just don't.
I wasn't even paying much attention.
It was really bad.
And don't send Big Poppy into the dugout ever again when the game's going on.
Well, it's the All-Star game.
I love MLB.
I get trying other things, but
no.
Be good at them if you're going to do them.
I love Major League Baseball. But they've let the All-Star game deteriorate to the point where it's almost not even consequential. Those uniforms, especially the American League uniforms,
hideous.
Are just awful. What is that? Tan and red?
It looked like almost orange.
No softball team would wear that.
It's a bad look.
The National League looked fine, but they should still be in their uniforms, right?
Of course. I don't know. I don't think
at least the National League uniform was passable. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if it would have been passable if the other jersey had been better than it. You know what I'm saying? It was only passable compared to the...
I actually didn't mind it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, was it only because we were comparing it to the other one?
I don't know, but I didn't mind it. I think on its own, I wouldn't mind it, except they should be wearing the jerseys of their teams, the uniform of their teams. There were no Cardinals in it, which took away a little of the luster. You had some Guardians. They didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, a run, an RBI, and the save. But other than that, didn't do much.
You know, just slap hitters.
It's nice that Emmanuel Clase is kind of that guy now, the guy you go to in the All-Star game in the ninth inning to get the save. It's not somebody else. He's the man. And that's a nice feeling.
Enjoy it.
Guards have never really had a guy like that before.
I don't care. I'm all for you. Listen, I feel good for you. You're kind of enjoying the moment. You had a good All-Star game. Your team's in first place. Everybody's saying you had a great draft. You're feeling the way I used to feel.
Well, we'll see how it ends.
About the Cardinals.
I don't want to. It's hard to get too blustered up, you know, because this season is going to have an ending, and the Guardians may or may not be the one standing.
Well, that's the thing. You don't trust it yet.
I'll never trust it.
And I understand that. There are times where I've trusted it. I get it, that you don't trust this.
Well, you have to go through so many rounds now. It's just, there's no telling who's
like
going to win.
The Phillies, they trust it. They know that they're, even if they get beat, they know they're the best team in the National League. There's no question about that. They trust it. You could see it in the way they went about it last night.
Had a little swagger.
Bryce Harper, I mean, all those Phillies guys, they just feel it. They know. They know they're the best. You don't necessarily have that feeling amongst the Guardians.
We're among the best. I know that.
Yeah, but there's no feeling like knowing you're the best.
There are chances for upgrades as the month continues
you know
and
what
wraps
I'm saying.
Up. I want to see what this team looks like on August 1st.
But you know what I'm saying.
Not really. I want to see what this team looks like on August 1st. That's really what I'm pointed to.
But what could they do to make you feel like you'd turn the corner?
I don't need a huge splash.
Give me a player.
Oh, Eric Fetty's kind of the guy.
Eric Fetty.
And if they could get like a Paul Blackburn or somebody like that, if they got like two number three type starters, I'd be thrilled. I know there's not going to be a great chance for an ace out there. I'm not really worried about that. They have Tanner Bibee. Just fill out the rotation, and then in the playoffs, you can go to your bullpen.
Yeah, good luck.
Whenever you want.
We're a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline.
Yeah, still about 13
And the Royals
days.
Look like they've already done something. They brought in Hunter Harvey.
Good move.
Good acquisition. Now, they had to give up their second-best prospect and a pick in the supplemental first-round draft.
Yeah, the comp round.
So, I mean, they had to pay a little bit for Hunter Harvey, but he addresses a concern.
He was their number two prospect? Are you sure?
Yes.
I thought Gavin Cross and Blake Mitchell were there.
No, don't try to correct me on baseball. I'm tired of it. I'm just not going to put up. There you go to your phone.
Yeah, I am.
I'm just not going to put up with it anymore.
Okay.
Because you're never right.
I don't think he was their number two prospect.
He was. And that's where we are on this. But they got a bullpen arm that they covet in Hunter Harvey, who's legit. A guy that can pitch at the back end.
Caden Wallace, their number two pro. I mean, what in the world?
Say it for everyone to hear.
What a absolutely barren farm system.
Say it for everyone to hear.
That's just terrible.
Now say it again. Was he the Royals' number two prospect?
I don't know.
Why do you do that?
He's doing okay in double A, but I don't know.
Why can't you just admit?
Admit what? I said
that
it.
I know what I'm talking about.
I said
about.
It out loud already.
Where's Caden Wallace now with the Nationals?
Yeah, I don't know. I assume he's going to double A, but I don't know that he's played yet. He's played with Northwest Arkansas.
Well, I'm talking about where is he on their prospect list?
Well, that's a really good question. I think I'm going to figure out the answer to it.
Because the Nationals have a pretty good system. Now they've started to dip into it. But they have Dylan Cruz. I believe they have a pitcher.
He's number six.
Okay, went from two to six in a better system.
Correct.
So he's still regarded as a top flight major league prospect.
I don't know if I'd call that top flight. He's a guy with the potential.
He'll get to the big leagues.
Yeah, they have a good system. Some of the guys beneath him are pretty good prospects. Robert Hassel. Elijah Green. So
that's
yeah,
the thing about the Nationals. I told you this when I watched them. I have a way of seeing the future.
Well, I saw that when we played them. Who
no,
cares?
You didn't. You didn't say anything.
I don't need to say anything.
I do. I like to. That's what I love about baseball is evaluation.
But I mean, any moron could see that CJ Abrams
in my,
is good.
If I have a regret, and I don't, I chose exactly the right career path and the right occupation. But I could have been a good evaluator.
Really? Of guys who are succeeding in the major leagues.
I could have been a good evaluator.
That's what you would have evaluated.
Of talent.
No,
I would have done a great job. I could do that job.
Well, it's awesome that you saw C.J. Abrams as a successful player just as he was being voted as a starter in the All-Star game.
I saw it at the NBC World Series.
C.J. Abrams?
No, I saw it at the NBC World Series with a bunch of players. Ask anybody who was around there at the time.
Were any of them?
I told people when I saw Albert Pujols with the Hayes Larks, who was nobody at that time. Really, I mean, nobody knew much about him. He was out of high school, played at a junior college. I said, that guy has a chance to be something.
Wow. One of the best three players in the history of the game. And who saw it first?
Well, who else saw it?
Apparently everybody.
13th round draft pick.
Yeah, and he played about four games in the minors after that.
So, I mean, you know, give me credit. Where credit's due. There's nothing wrong with giving me credit.
That's the first I've ever heard of you seeing Albert Pujols and saying anything.
Well, ask anybody.
No, I don't.
Who was up there at the time?
I don't even think you were up there at the time.
Of course I was.
You weren't an NBC guy into the 90s.
I was not the guy that daily covered it, but I was a columnist. And I wrote a daily column during the NBC World Series. At that time, I wrote a daily column out of the World Series.
Oh, there you go.
And I think one of those columns was, I see it in Albert Pujols.
Probably so.
Look it up.
That's in your book, right? Since
I don't think I put that one in my book, but look it up. Monumental. I'm sure I wrote it. 869-1240. Here is our show for today. Now, I did see this kid, and I said, wow, this kid has a chance. Connor Frankamp joins the show at 225. We'll talk aftershocks.
Is this what you had in mind for Connor Frankamp?
What?
A career overseas.
Yeah, because he lacked the size. But he's had a great career overseas.
He sure has.
I wish you had a career overseas. Mike Furches will join us.
What are you trying to say?
I'll leave it up. You know, that was funny. I think listeners got it, but well, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I'll go
sure.
Overseas, and you'll never hear from me again.
Well, if you have a good career, why would I argue with that?
Well, why? How would you know?
Mike Furches joins us at 2:45. We'll talk about Emmy nominations. You know, you know, I'm a guy that likes to think, man, I watch all the shows.
Yeah.
There's so many shows that were nominated big time, like many nominations. I haven't watched or even heard of.
That's okay.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
I got to get on that.
No, you don't.
Debbie, tonight we're going to start one of these series, and I'm going to talk to Mike about which one it should be.
Watch whatever you want.
No.
Whether it's nominated or not.
No, I'm going to watch a nominated show.
But if it hadn't.
Because you know what? You know what has become my sport?
No.
Bothering you.
Well, it works.
So the more you're bothered, the more you're bothered.
I just can't
listen
relate.
Listen to that voice.
Can't relate to somebody who just, I got to be doing what everybody else is doing. I have no idea how my mind would ever work like that.
Listen to that voice.
But that's what
it
you
just
are.
Bugs the you know
how
what
does that
out
feel?
Of you. Listen to you.
I'm asking.
No, it feels good because it elicits this
but
response.
How does it feel to be such a conformist is what I'm asking.
Do you not know the joy I'm getting right now?
Why don't you answer the question?
Because I
want to know how that feels.
The reason I say these things is to get the reaction I get.
The reason you say that you're going to watch every Emmy-nominated show is because you want to do what everybody else is doing. And I want to know why. Why? Quit
Listen,
the fake laughing and
no,
just
I'm
answer
not
the
fake
question.
It's not a fake laugh.
Yeah, it is.
It is hilarious to me to hear the high-pitched
just answer the
nature
question.
Of your voice.
Just answer the question. Does that work?
Are you going nuts? Are you going insane?
Nope.
I think you are.
I'm not.
I think I'm driving you.
You are extremely predictable.
I think I'm driving you toward insanity.
The way
insanity.
You act toward me does not really affect me. So why don't
anyway,
you just answer
I'm going to talk
question.
To Mike Furches about some of these shows and get his thoughts about them. If he's seen them. I don't even know if he's seen some of them.
Well, I doubt he's as worried about
them later in the show. I know you haven't seen them.
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen The Morning Show, which has been on for a while and just got nominated at the Wazoo. I mean, it's everybody and everything about that show. Is nominated.
Well, it's got a pretty good cast from what I have heard.
And what's it on? Apple TV?
Yes.
Well, I need to watch that.
Or you don't.
I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like there are people out there who have an advantage over me.
And tell me again how that feels.
Feels awful.
To be a conformist.
Feels awful to have
I can imagine.
People out there who listen to me and go, can't believe that idiot hadn't watched The Morning Show. That feels awful to me.
Really? It's bizarre. I don't get it.
I know you don't get it.
I don't get it.
Mike gets it.
No, he doesn't care what other people think like that. He just watches what he wants to watch. And it so just so happens
but Mike gets
that
me.
He wants to watch a lot of things.
Mike gets me. Do you buy that?
No.
What do you think? You think he doesn't get me?
I don't think he really gets you. This Midwestern guy didn't really... never really had to fight for his food, if you know what I'm saying. Like
what?
Mike did.
I never had to fight for my food.
And you know what I mean? Like really just get after it.
Tell me about
it.
That.
You had a privileged upbringing.
I had a privileged upbringing.
Mike was over here.
Tell me about the privileged upbringing
Mike
I had.
Was over.
No, tell me.
See, now I'm messing with you.
No,
isn't
tell
that
me about
easy?
It.
Nah, it's all right.
Tell me about
we'll
the privileged
it.
Upbringing
we'll
I had.
We'll get into it when Mike comes on.
My mother drove a 62 Chevy, and my dad drove any Renault he could find at the junk pile and fix.
Well, what's that have to do with anything?
That's the
privileged
upbringing.
Privilege does not necessarily have to do with
the first car I ever drove was my mother's 62 Chevy.
Chevy?
Right. A muffler fell off of it.
Of the what?
Muffler
the
fell
62
off.
What?
So there was no privilege.
Privilege.
And I'll knock your
you
head
had
off.
Both parents, you went to school, you didn't need for anything.
I had a parent who worked and a mother who stayed in the home, which is fine. I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But a parent who worked three jobs to make ends meet.
Did your mom ever have a
privilege?
Job while
Not while I was alive.
Yes.
Is that privilege?
Yeah.
A father who worked three jobs to make
ends. I worked three jobs.
Not like he did. You sit in the press box. You sit here holding a mic. And you sit out at KWCH waiting for a thunderstorm. Those aren't real jobs.
Did we have one today?
Those aren't real jobs.
Oh, they real money.
My dad worked hard for a living.
We all work hard.
You haven't worked. I'm going to tell you this right now. You haven't worked hard yet.
Really? That's too bad. I feel like I work hard a lot of times.
Eh, good for you. But don't ever tell me I had a privileged
You did.
You haven't described it at all that way.
I told
way.
You. You got an education. I mean, you had both parents. You
had an education?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with privilege?
Not a lot of people are that lucky.
To get an education?
Correct, yeah.
So if you get an education, you're privileged?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every person who has an education, who has gone to high school, is
and
privileged.
Graduated, yeah, that's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to go to high school, not have to drop out and work, not have to drop out and support your
Who
family.
Who do you know that dropped out and work?
I'm just saying it happens.
Who do you know?
Does it not happen? I mean, I've never known anybody that died in a house fire, but I know that
I
happens.
I know plenty of people who fight like hell to go to high school and beyond and work their tails off to make that happen. I've never regarded that as privilege.
Really?
Hard work is not...
A chance to get a higher education?
Hard work, it's not a chance. You've made your chance. You've made your opportunity. Not privilege. You've made it happen.
I don't know.
Now, you wouldn't know anything about that, but I would.
No, I wouldn't.
Right. That's true.
You
wouldn't. You
wouldn't either.
Of course I would. I paid for every dollar of my college education. Every dollar.
Well, did you get those $12 back yet in the return?
See, that's your common refrain.
Well, I would have been able
to. Let me tell you something about that time, okay? Because you're too dense to get it. We didn't make good money in those years. I wasn't making a lot of money when I was out of high school. I told you I started at the Wichita Eagle in 1974 for $150 a week. When I worked at the Derby Daily Reporter, I was making significantly less than that. So if college costs $12, as you say, that's a significant amount of money.
Maybe. It's unaffordable now.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
why are colleges full?
Because people get loans.
There were people who got loans when I went to college. And parents who paid for their kids' college. Mine didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't
get many,
loans.
Not many are able to in my generation to be able to do that. To be able to pay for someone's college.
Well, I don't know. I don't
pretty
know anything
impossible.
About that. There's a lot of people who pay for their kids' college.
Well, it's pretty much impossible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. For middle-class people, It absolutely
well, it was pretty
is.
Much impossible when I was in, at that age.
I don't think so.
Well, I do.
I do not.
Why did my parents not pay for my college?
I don't know.
Because they didn't have the money. That's why.
Okay. Well, Aaron can't earn the money to pay for college. That's impossible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
She can pay some of it.
She can pay off loans later. She doesn't have any money.
Okay. That's the choice. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk with Connor Frankamp from the Aftershock. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We are joined by Connor Frankamp from the Aftershocks. Connor, a veteran player. How many years now, Connor, with the Aftershocks? Is this your fourth or fifth?
I think this is my fourth year, I believe.
Okay. Well, yeah. Congratulations on that. Here we are. We saw that yesterday was your 29th birthday. 29 seems extremely young still to me, but I imagine to you, you have a little hard time believing you're 29.
You're exactly right. 29 seems old, so especially next year being 30, then I'll for sure feel extra old. So yeah,
yeah, 30 is crazy old. What did you do to celebrate yesterday? Anything, Connor?
I didn't do too much actually. I went to dinner with my family last night. Hung out with the little one, and that was about it actually.
Talking with Connor Frankamp, the basketball tournament starts this Thursday, right? Is it Thursday 21st? Or Friday?
We play
Saturday.
It's Friday. It starts Friday, I think. Actually, then we play it at 12 on Saturday.
Okay. Well, what do you think of this team? How do you feel about it? Are you as psyched up and excited for this as you've always been? What do you think of the Aftershocks?
Definitely. I think we have a really good team. You know, we've been so close in the previous years. I think it was two years ago, I think, maybe three, we made it to the semifinals and thought we had a good chance to win it that year. So we brought back some of the same guys from that team. Then we added another guard, Jeremiah Martin, who played at Memphis, who's really, really good. So we're excited to have him. And, you know, we have this week to gel and play together and everything. And I think we put together a pretty good team.
For you, is the basketball tournament, is TBT just fun and a break from kind of your career? Or are there things that you can take from this experience on the court and use them in your actual career? Are there parts of the style of play in TBT that maybe have helped you improve elsewhere?
Maybe a little bit of both. You know, it's nice in the middle of summer to be able to play games as competitive against, you know, this good a competition. Without this tournament, it'd be hard to find, you know, games this good and to play against and play with guys who are this high level and things like that. So I think that definitely helps going into, you know, the next season with your pro career for sure.
Connor Frankamp, our guest, the Aftershocks play at noon on Saturday, as he said, against Midtown Prestige, another Kansas team. That kind of has a Southwestern College feel. Are you aware of a player by the name of Kevin Clark?
I am not. We kind of went over the players a little bit yesterday, but obviously didn't get in depth too much with them or about them. But I don't know many of the players. I know Kaheem Ransom. He played at Southeast when I was at North. He's a good player, so I'm excited to see him and play against him. But other than that, I don't know.
I think Kevin Clark is you, Connor, in a different body. From the sound of it, he's
kind of a little shorter.
Big shooter and big score, and so that'll be fun. Tell us, before we go on about the basketball tournament, tell us about your pro career and where that is now.
I was in Spain this last year. It was my second time in Spain. I was in Spain 3 years ago in Murcia, and then this year I was in Lugo to start, and then I finished out in Valencia. In the ACB, which, you know, I enjoy Spain quite a bit. So it was nice to be there again for a second time. And then I haven't signed anywhere for next year, kind of waiting to see what the options are and kind of just go from there.
How long do you want to play, ideally?
That's a great question. I wish I could give you an exact answer. I wouldn't mind playing, you know, until maybe 33, 30, 32, 33, something like that. I really don't know. That's kind of just a rough estimate right now. I don't have an exact, you know, exact age or number I could give you.
When you see so many players getting drafted to the NBA from overseas and not here in the United States and in colleges and stuff like that, what does that affirm to you about how challenging it is to play in Europe and elsewhere overseas, and how much more advanced has that game even gotten since you've been playing?
It's pretty cool to see all the guys from overseas get drafted, you know. The European basketball is definitely improving every single year, and higher level guys are going over there and, you know, staying over there. There's a lot of NBA guys who choose to stay over there in Europe instead of coming back to the NBA, obviously, with a more prominent role you get sometimes over in Europe and things like that. So it's always good to see the European basketball game evolve every single year.
We're talking with Connor Frankamp from the Aftershocks, certainly a guy that we identify with that team now. The grind of this tournament, it's tough. You play a lot of games in a short amount of time. You've got a good KU team, at least on paper, it looks good. You've got a good K-State team, again, at least on paper. What's the key of making a good team rather than just a good on paper team?
I think focusing one game at a time, you know, like you said, we have K-State and KU both in our region. So not looking ahead to, you know, that's some sort of rivalry or whatever to play K-State and then KU, however it may end up. The teams are so good this year in the tournament. So just playing one game at a time and trying to not let the other team score easy baskets, I think, is a huge thing. And especially being at home, that obviously helps us quite a bit.
Are you still a KU fan? How do you feel about that program and that team now that you've got a little distance away from it?
There's no hard feelings towards them. I can't say I'm the biggest KU fan, but I also don't root for them to lose or anything like that. So I always watch them during the year, and I enjoy following up with them. And then obviously some of the guys this year on the TBT team, I'm still friends with. So it'll be great to see them, and then be able to catch up with them.
Connor Frankamp is our guest. So we haven't gotten to see you play here in the States very much, except for in this tournament. Since you played at Wichita State and finished your college career, what part of your game has improved the most?
I think overall I've just became a more mature player, I think. I think a little bit at WSU, I was kind of limited with the things I was allowed to do and things of that nature. And then as I've been overseas, I've kind of been able to play more free and kind of play my game that I've always kind of known how to play. And so that's been nice to get back to that and, you know, kind of just play the way I used to play.
So last year in the tournament, I noticed that teams were really focusing a lot of defensive attention toward you. And
right.
You tried to turn that into assisting other players and getting the ball to people. Do you expect that to be the case this year? Do you expect the defense to really, really focus on you and not let you do some of the things you like to do? And how do you combat that?
Yes, I kind of am preparing for that. I think I'm going to try to be more aggressive this year. I think I was kind of passive last year with the defense they were playing on me. And then us adding that other guard, the lefty Jeremiah Martin, he'll take the pressure off of me some. So that's a nice addition. And then, you know, of course, if my teammates are open, I'll pass and try to play the right way the best that I can.
I was going to say you need to be more aggressive, but I thought you might get angry with me. But you kind of agree,
no.
Right?
I agree with you. I do agree with you. Yeah.
So you said play until you're kind of early 30s and whatever that looks like. You might be in at least the second half of your career. Have you thought about what is next? Do you want to coach? Do you see yourself living here in Wichita or somewhere else? I don't know if you've thought about that much, but have you?
I've thought about it a little bit. I go back and forth on, you know, if I want to coach or you know, do something with basketball. Some days I don't want to do anything with basketball when I'm retired, and then other days, you know, I want to stay with it. So I go back and forth every week on that, and I'm, you know, still trying to figure out what I want to do when I'm finished. So I definitely need to start, you know, preparing for that and kind of thinking more deeply on that. And if it's not, you know, 3 or 4 years, it'll go by pretty quick.
Well, being a golf pro could be on the table too, right?
I would love that, yes. Yes.
Connor, I think I know you better than you know you.
You definitely might.
Well, we appreciate it. We look forward to watching you. I know I speak for my wife when I say this. We love watching Connor Francamp play basketball. We always have. And we're looking forward to the basketball tournament coming up this weekend at Koch Arena. The Aftershocks in action at noon on Saturday. Thank you, Connor.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. It's always good. Always good to chat with you guys.
All right, thanks. There's Connor Francamp. Another guy that, you know, year by year, just easier conversation to have. He didn't like to talk a whole lot when he was in high school or college. He talked. He was friendly.
Yeah.
Now he's getting more comfortable.
Seems like it. And, yeah, it's not everyone's thing to want to talk. Some guys want to go play, and they're more introverted. But his conversations are good and fun and easy.
That golf pro thing, don't discount that.
Well, I know how good he is.
I could very easily see that happening.
I wouldn't put it past him.
If they were to have a golf tournament of TBT players, I guarantee he'd be in the top three.
He'd probably win the thing.
Yeah, he could.
I don't know what other players in that tournament are looking like.
That's why I said top three. I don't want to. There might be a great golfer out there.
But if anybody can get a professional golf career started in their mid-30s, I assume it would be a guy like Connor.
Well, I'm saying when I say a golf pro, I mean somebody who runs a golf.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Maybe he thinks he can go be a golf pro. But when I'm talking about a pro, I'm talking about somebody who's
I don't think he wants to go run Teradyne if he's going to play golf.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think he wants to play golf.
He could still play a lot of golf.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he wants to be in a U.S. Open.
Maybe.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, I'll ask him next time I talk to him.
You should. Text him right now.
I am going to text him right now. I'm going to text Connor and see, did you mean actually trying to get on the tour, or did you mean running a golf?
Well, even if he's a Corn Ferry guy for 10 years, I mean, I bet he would be pretty happy with that. I think he wants to compete in golf. He's a competitor.
Well, you can compete in golf as a golf pro.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
Remember the golf pro that was on the leaderboard for one of the majors a couple years ago?
Yeah, we all made fun of him, and then he went away.
No, we didn't make fun of him.
Well, I did.
I didn't make fun of him. And by the way, we have the Open Championship coming up this weekend. And we need to get with Duda today to see if he can make picks.
Is there a chance for a three-man on Friday? Because I got a game.
No, I will not be here Friday.
There's no chance.
No.
Where will you be?
I'm actually going to go to the jail and talk to Ricky Aldoretti, who has been charged and pleaded guilty to being one of the people who took the Jackie Robinson statue. I've been afforded the opportunity to talk to him. And
we can't make that a morning appointment?
No.
Good.
It's at 3:00.
All right. Well, good luck.
You can do the game another time.
Yeah, it's a good game, though.
This is something I've said publicly that I was willing to do, and I am willing to do it, and I'm doing it Friday.
All right, good luck.
What do you mean, good luck?
Good luck.
I don't know what that means. That's such a strange thing to say about.
What else would you say?
Just okay.
Well, good luck.
For what?
I hope that whatever you want to get out of that is what you get out of that.
I'm not saying, what have I said I want to get out of
then,
it?
Well, yeah, I assume you want to get something out of it, or why would you do it?
Go talk to the guy. Tell him what he did, how it affected people. Mike Furches is with us on the IHOP hotline. Mike, welcome.
Good to be here.
So, is that all? Just good to be here? No.
Well, I'm sitting here. I was talking to Max.
It's an honor, Bob, or anything like that?
It's an honor to be with such two great people. And then Max on the side, too.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to go quite that far. Mike, I almost called you Max.
Of course we do.
What my father's going to want to ask you about Emmy nominations, so I will allow him to do that. But have you seen any movies lately, and have any made any kind of impression on you?
Well, saw Maxine, saw Horizon. Maxine, I love Ty West. For people who don't know who that is, he's kind of like a horror writer. He did Pearl. He did X. And then Maxine is a follow-up to that series. So I saw that, and it was okay. A little bit of a disappointment. Went to see Horizon. We've been talking about that, the new Kevin Costner film. And have kind of mixed emotions about it, but liked it. Does that make sense? It's very long. It's 3 hours long. If I had to rack it up against Killers of the Flower Moon, I liked Horizon better. But 3 hours is a long movie. And it is action-packed, though. It's not a it reminds me a lot of Open Range. And I know that Bob would have seen that. I don't know if you ever did or not, Jeff.
Well, then that's one of my favorite movies. So if this thing's going to be in that genre, in that category, then I need to see it. But you've given it much more, many more accolades than most. Why is that? Are you someone who's giving it praise?
Well, one is I realize it's a part one of a – it's not a completion of a movie. It's just part one of a two-part movie. It reminds me a lot of 1883. There is a substantial cast. Kevin Costner's in it, but while he may be the primary actor in the movie, unless he's in the second one a whole lot more, he can forget about an Oscar nomination for it because there's so many character actors that play such significant roles in the movie. And it does jump around a lot. Like 1883, but it starts to come together at the end of the first movie, but then it ends. So I liked it, but I like Westerns. I think this has a chance for those that will see it. It's rated R, and Bob, you're not going to like this, but because of the cinematography, which you can expect incredible cinematography from Costner, I think it needs to be seen on the big screen. If you wait around to where it comes on television, now not all of us has an 85-inch television that you have in your living room, but for those that don't,
thanks for
you'll
saying
lose
that.
A lot of you'll lose a lot of perspective.
It's a privilege, isn't it, Mike?
I'm sitting here staring at my 60-inch one, and I remember him getting on you for not having one bigger than that. So, hey, but they are down for you get one for less than $400 now, a 70-incher. So I may be having to make that trip pretty soon.
Mike Furch is with us. We're talking pop culture. So I do want to get into the Emmy nominations.
Yeah.
Because really, I've watched more television than I have movies over the past 4 years, which didn't used to be the case. But I've fallen into that. I don't want to go out to a movie theater, and I'm trying to get over that mental hurdle. I don't know if I ever will. So I looked at the nominations today, and I'm a guy that thinks, man, I watch a lot of TV. I need to cut back. Well, here are the outstanding drama series that were nominated. The Crown, which has been on a long time. I've never watched it. I don't know why. Fallout, don't watch. The Gilded Age, haven't watched. The Morning Show, as ashamed as I am to say it, I haven't watched. Mr. Yeah. and Mrs. Smith, no. Shogun, no. Slow Horses, haven't watched. Three Body Problem. No. Every single one of those outstanding drama series, either I haven't watched, all of them I haven't watched, some I've never heard of. What's going on with me, Mike?
Well, it's the beast of streaming because you do watch The Bear. That is one with FX. I think to me, the FX, that one channel with between two shows, have like almost 60 nominations and have over 90 for that network. And how many of us watch that? You know, how many of us watch FX? I tend to watch Paramount, Paramount Plus, Netflix, Amazon, but I don't tend to go to FX. I don't really even tend to go to Apple, which also had quite a few nominations as well. So There are some good ones this year, though. The Bears are good. If you've not seen Shogun, if you like Walton Goggins as much as I do, I'd recommend watching that particular show because you won't even recognize that it's Walton Goggins. It's a kind of a futuristic science fiction, but it's actually it reminds me of Waterworld, an old series from way back. But I actually enjoy it quite a bit. And then there's others like that you make mention of, like with Apple with the morning show and things of that nature. I don't watch those types of shows either, but streaming has taken over. And when you've got actors, one of my favorite actresses like Idris Elba, who's on his fifth Emmy nomination, that says something about the quality of television and streaming networks.
What do you think it is, Mike, that gets people to watch a show these days? Because you don't see like all these shows like heavily advertised. Is it just word of mouth? And how much of a detriment is the overload of streaming to be able to find and watch these shows if you even want to?
Yeah, it becomes really difficult, Jeff. I think word of mouth has been, always will be, the best form of advertisement for a particular television show or movie or whatever. There's a movie out right now called Long Legs that was not expected to do anything, but the numbers and the word of mouth is just pumping that movie up to where it's doing pretty good. And I know that we've had disagreements about this, the Fall Guy, but the Fall Guy ended up making far more than what people expected and actually was running in theaters for quite a while it was still streaming and doing well at the theaters. So the word of mouth, initially when a movie comes out, I mean, we can go back historically, people like Bob and I can go back and look. It's a Wonderful Life was a flop when it first came out. The Wizard of Oz was a flop when it first came out. And it was word of mouth that built those films up to where they're traditions now and modern day classics. So word of mouth plays a lot, but how can you advertise so much to where people can become aware that there's so much that's out there? We've never seen the advent of this much entertainment ever. And it doesn't seem to be getting less. It seems to be getting more. So.
Yeah, I mean it's absolutely crazy. Mike Furches is with us. We're talking Emmy nominations. It's interesting that an outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Idris Elba and Dominic West were both nominated. What do they have in common, Mike?
It's hard to say what they have in common. I really like Idris Elba.
What legendary show were they both in?
Tell me,
Jeff,
Bob.
Do you have the answer?
The Office.
The Wire.
No.
Okay.
Did you watch The Wire?
I definitely watched The Wire, and I probably would have thought about it if I'd have thought long enough. But that's going back in time. I mean, back when those two guys were on that quite a few years ago. And but it shows the lasting impact of The Wire.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I only started watching The Wire about 4 years ago. I'm still not caught up, and I'm not throughout the whole seasons. But it's only about 4 years ago when I was at the gym doing my climbing bicycle routine for cardio that I started watching it. So
that is a stressful show. Time. I would not add to my cardio by watching The Wire.
Get your heart going faster. Show. Yeah. So, but there's some good stuff out there. And the Emmys, the one thing, and I was doing my little bit of research on the Emmys, and one thing that kept coming up, is if it seems like it was just yesterday before the last Emmy Awards took place, it really kind of was. It's not been over a year since we had the last group of nominations. So,
Mike, I have a question. Just from you're not really an outsider when it comes to this, but you're not as big a fan as I or my dad. When you hear the Eagles at the Sphere, what does that conjure up for you? Is that a good fit?
Boy, it's hard. You know, you two just finished up their series there. They're still going on. I think it's signed an extension. You know, the thing that's bothering me about the Eagles right now is the lip syncing, if that's really going on or if it's just temporary going on. I've not gotten over that, and I would just like to have more detail before I'd be willing to pay that kind of money to see him.
Don was singing in the most recent Long Goodbye after all that stuff came out. I think he might still be lip-syncing Desperado, but the other song sounded, and who knows, but they sounded different from before.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the Eagles in a venue like Intrust Bank Arena. in a not a massive arena.
Those days
or even
are gone.
Yeah, but it's kind of, you know, for years and years and years, this is going back to my home area. In Johnson City, Tennessee, Freedom Hall Civic Center used to be one of the major stopping points for hard rock bands in the country. And it was because they were so crazy. I mean, Errol Smith did a couple of videos there as well as others. But the crowd, the artists used to go to play to the crowd. Wichita was a classic rock town for many, many years. But now it's just like sports teams. And you can't blame them. I'm not blaming them. It's about how much money you can make. And frankly, if they can make it good for them, they put in the entertainment value over the years and they deserve it. So.
Well, the best thing about Wichita right now is the number of venues we have. So you can really get about anything if you're willing to look at who's coming where, because we have five or six venues that are bringing significant acts to town. We got the Beach Boys in town right now performing tonight at the Cotillion.
Yeah, we have.
I know
the
it's not the original Beach Boys, but Mike Love's out there.
Yeah, we had the Wallflowers, Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
Blues Traveler. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, just all those bands you just mentioned, Jeff, I really wanted to see the Wallflowers, and I didn't get to go, but I really wanted to see them. And then, you know, the first date they ever took my late wife on was the Beach Boys. And Mike Love, you're looking at Wichita, Kansas, Hutchinson, roots there. A lot of people don't know,
yeah.
But still, they're still out there playing. And I bet you they sound just about as good as they ever did. And would be a fun.
And you know, people are going to have fun tonight listening to the Beach Boys, and that's what it's all about.
There's no doubt they're going to have a blast. They're going to be dancing and partying, and just a really, it's fun music, and it's the time of year to see it. I saw the Beach Boys in Washington D.C. one year for the 4th of July show, and I'll never forget that. I've seen them probably five or six times over the years, and they always put on a great show. But for the smaller venues, 5,000 seats and below, Wichita is doing fantastic. I mean, even with like Temple Life having the Wallflowers the other night, that's a big show. That's a big show, and so we're doing really well. And there's a chances for all kinds of entertainment if people want to get out and do it. And like I've said for years, pop culture that includes music, and I'm certainly looking forward to my fall already. And I'm thinking about trying to see the Eagles. I'd like to find a way to go.
Well, I'm. It hasn't struck me yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, okay. I think this has a chance of just being unbelievable.
Well, we'll see.
But we'll see.
We'll see what your definition of unbelievable is.
Well, you still got the Mike, chance to see ELO too. Oh, you guys are welcome. Thank you.
Well, I was definitely going to see Hart. In Trust Bank Arena, but they had to cancel the tour.
Yeah. It's kind of sad because I'd like to see them one more time as well. I've seen them a couple of times. They're always a lot of fun. So, well, you
thanks,
guys,
Mike.
Good.
It was a pleasure.
Same here.
There's Mike Furches.
Thanks, Mike.
He'll join us again next week, we hope. We'll be back with another hour of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.